Okay, welcome back. Glad you're here. The Coral Castle. Many of you know about it, many of you don't know about it, and if you don't, you're going to find out about it, and maybe, maybe, just maybe, find out how it all came to be. It is a geomantic wonder, as one website calls it, often equated by many people, especially engineers and others, with feats of, things like Stonehenge and even the Great Pyramid of Egypt. The Coral Castle was built by an eccentric little man named Edward Leedskalnin, who single-handedly, somehow, erected gigantic quarried stones, resulting in his enigmatic castle. It was originally located in a tiny town in Florida. The site was later moved by Leedskalnin to its current location just south of Miami. Ed is said to have built the whole Coral Castle for his so-called Sweet 16, supposedly a woman from his native Latvia who had promised to marry him and then changed her mind at the last minute. The fact is, it was a shielded allusion, the Sweet 16, to his discovery, which was apparently the ability to redirect or somehow neutralize the forces of gravity. It has been a major wonder for many, many years, since Ed was personally giving tours. People were mind-blown by the whole thing. There's a gentleman named John Depew who's going to join us for the first part of the program tonight. John has been researching the Coral Castle and Edward Leedskalnin enigma for a long time now, and has come up with what he says is an explanation as to how Ed did it all. And so let's go and take a little stroll and find out what we can learn from John Depew about the magical and mysterious Coral Castle. And by the way, you're going to be able to see a lot of pictures of the Coral Castle online tonight. They're online 24 hours. They were putting some together for you in the guests box at rents.com. Okay, let's see if John Depew is there.
Yes, I am.
How are you, John?
Good, how are you?
I've been better. I've been worse.
Been here?
Yeah. Now, tell me about the Coral Castle. And you, when did you first come across it? When did you first see it? How often have you seen it? And so forth.
It was probably about 15 years ago was my first encounter, and ever since then I just continually think about it and read his writings over and over and over and experiment and all that. And I knew there was something hidden there, and I just couldn't find it. I tried over and over and over, and finally, there's one thing I didn't try, that was on the cover of his magnetic current book. There's these two silly little lines that I just assumed were part of the publisher's design of the book, because they're so subtle. So I decided to take those two little lines and see if I could make them run. He describes how magnetic currents run differently than scientists believe.
Go ahead.
I assumed that these two squiggly lines were a representation of magnetic currents. So I took those two little lines.
He didn't say that in his writing. He didn't explain that.
He didn't explain anything about the hint on the cover of the book.
Right. And he didn't, if I might interrupt, he didn't leave exactly a library full of information behind either.
Exactly. It's very hard to weed through all of it. But when you find out what the code unleashes or unravels, his brilliance is so beyond anything I've seen. Really, I'm almost speechless. I get all flustered even trying to talk about it.
Now, this has been 15 years of your life.
Yeah, and the last few especially. The last 5 years, I really put a lot of time, almost every day.
What was it about the Coral Castle and the story that got you so hooked and intrigued?
I really don't know. It's definitely become a compulsion, though.
Well, we may all be the better off for that compulsion, so let's see where we go. Now, if you click on John Depew's name, you'll go to his website. And thereupon, we will see some very, very interesting analysis and a theory as to what was involved with Leedskalnin's brilliance. How was it that you finally, after, I guess about 12 or 13 years, stumbled onto the two wavy lines that were the hint and then figure it out? I mean, and we'll explain it later, but
one thing I didn't try. I tried everything. I was even building my own wheel, you know, his magnetic wheel. I was even building my own, and I was halfway through when I broke the code. So I still got a lot more to do now, but it opened up such a huge box of information that I'm flustered.
Were you talking to other researchers who have been trying to figure it out as well, or just working on your own?
I pretty much work on my own, but I've talked to a few people. But none of it's really gotten me anywhere.
Right. So as far as the story about him doing this whole thing for this 16-year-old girl,
I don't pay much attention to that.
It was just a little ruse on his part to,
I think so,
to play games with people, I guess, and have them even more mystified at what he did.
He wanted people to work for. He had trouble with people being lazy, too lazy to work to find the results, I believe.
Right.
I
understand. Okay.
He thought,
all right, give our listeners just a little bit of a sketch about Coral Castle, how big it is, and so
forth. Well, I don't really have all that information in front of me. I'm not real technical, so I don't even absorb that. You know, I keep it on hand to for my research, but I don't memorize it.
Sure. Okay. What part of the castle is most intriguing to you?
The wheel. The magnetic wheel.
So, for our listeners who cannot see the magnetic wheel, explain what that is.
Basically, when I unraveled the code, you could see his brilliance. Well, that brilliance is what he used to design the wheel. People assume it's just an AC generator, but they're only measuring one half of what's there, and that's what science does with the energy in the first place. Physicists work with the negative aspects, and electricians work with the positive aspects. But they don't get together and look at it as a whole form.
Mm-hmm. What does describe the wheel for our listeners, then. It's how big is it? What's it look
like?
It's
on the web page. At the bottom of, you scroll down the web page, you'll see it.
Okay, how far down do we go?
It's down to the bottom.
Okay, go all the way down to the bottom of John DePue's web page, and there is John's wheel, shiny
above,
and new, and it's above that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always felt that snowflakes held the secret to our universe's energy pattern.
Really?
Yeah, and it's really ironic, and that's how I knew I found the big one when I unraveled the code, and it turned out to be perfect snowflake patterns. I mean, one after another. They're blueprints of magnetic circuitry of nature. He did this all in his brain. I mean, I'm figuring out on a computer, I'm taking that shape and I'm templating it over top of each other to produce these patterns. I'm not running them through a software program or anything like that. I'm doing it step by step.
So his brain was a mini supercomputer, apparently.
His brain, I've never seen a scientist that knew so much about the base form of energy than Ed did.
Wow.
And what is amazing, I can barely even speak.
What is your background, John? Are you self-educated in this field of physics, or did you study it at all?
Yeah, self-educated, exactly. I'm a trial and error person.
Right.
Well,
it's a great way to learn. If you've got the discipline and the patience, because you'll often step around blocks and impediments that orthodox science has, you know, set up and lived with for years.
It's obvious that they're not trying to display the truth.
You really think so?
Oh yeah, especially after finding this.
Well, I'm reminded of the story that is sort of legendary. He was moving these large blocks of quarried material, which weighed many, many tons. And the truck driver and the flatbed truck came up to move this. And the driver looked around for a huge crane, and there was nothing. There was just this big block. And Ed told the driver to leave for, I don't know, 15 minutes, something like that. And when the driver came back, the block was on the back of the truck. That kind of thing. It's amazing to me how this story has largely been ignored by much of America. It's every bit as much of a mystery as Stonehenge, as many of the monuments in Egypt on the Giza Plateau and elsewhere and around the world. This is an extraordinary accomplishment.
Right. And the thing that's really hilarious about the whole thing is I hear people still talking about, like, why didn't he leave a clue? Even after I'm showing them this, they still don't take the time to look at it. And that's what made him more angry than anything.
That's why he
kept it till the end. And right before he died, he put it on the cover of his last publication.
That was it? And it was just two lines?
Yep, two little squiggly lines.
Amazing. All right. When you scroll down near the bottom of John DePugh's page, figure T, U, and V, and W are all about the wheel of Ed Leedskalman. Let's pause. We have a little bit of business to do. Come right back. We'll take a look at that wheel and talk more about it with John DePugh in just a minute. Okay, Jeff Rentz back with John DePugh. We're talking about Ed Leedskalman's Coral Castle. Has the secret been solved by John DePugh? And it may well have been. At the very least, John has opened a door that heretofore has remained invisible and unknown to apparently everyone who's tried to figure this mystery out for decades now. It's quite a story. When you look at my guests section at the top of Rentz.com, you'll see John DePugh's name. You, of course, can click on his name to go to his website. I want you to do that. Also, underneath that, you'll find another link which just says The Coral Castle. I put that up because it's the official website of The Coral Castle, and there are quite a few pictures you can go browse through as well. Now, let's go to John DePugh's page, his site, Figure T, okay, and click on that image. It's Ed Leedskalman's magnetic wheel, which is much more than people perceive it to be. If you click on that picture, you'll get a blown-up version of it, and you can look. That's actually looking down on top of it. Now, if you're real quick, you can go to that other link, the Coral Castle in the box. Click on that, and the first pictures that come up are 9 of them. They're from the official website. And the bottom of the 3 lines of photos in the center is a photograph of the same thing, the wheel. But it is labeled here the AC generator. The AC generator. Now you can click on that and get kind of a 45 degree angle view. It's not straight down, it's not from the horizontal. And you can see the height of the wheel, which appears to be about, how tall would that be? 8 to 10 inches, John?
Off the ground, you mean?
Yeah, the wheel itself, up from the bottom of it to the top.
Well, I'd say probably 6 to 8 inches at the most.
That's it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now, it appears, for those who cannot see this, that in the center of this round wheel, which has all the way around it in a 360-degree what look like almost teeth in a gear, it looks like a gear wheel, as it were. I'm not sure what it's made of, but it looks like in the top center there is a handle to hand crank this wheel. Is that correct?
Right.
So Ed would somehow turn this wheel by hand, round and around she goes, and what she did only he knows.
Well, supposedly he could keep it rotating. Once he got the orbit going, the wheel would continue to rotate perpetually.
Really?
That's what he says in his writing, yeah. He does not make the wheel. I've put an application in the patent office, but obviously they didn't approve it.
Did he? Well, no, wait a minute. Did he submit a patent for this?
Right, yes.
Where is that submission?
I have no idea. I think that was part of the reason he probably got more bitter towards the end.
Well, there ought to be a filed submission somewhere. Maybe the government...
I've heard people have checked it out and they haven't found anything on it, but he definitely writes about it. He made 10 wheels, but this last one was his best one.
And what happened to the others, do we know?
I have no idea.
Well, like many artists, he may have destroyed them.
He might have just took them apart and used them to make this final one.
New parts, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he did submit a patent app on this that...
He said he did.
Pardon me?
He said he did in the book.
All right. Well, what I'm saying is if he did, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if it didn't go into that same black hole that much of Nikola Tesla's work went and others as well.
Right.
Okay, so...
People still don't know who he is.
Right.
Tesla. They don't even know who Tesla is, and they're using his stuff all the time.
Well, that's true. All right, so we're looking at figure T, and it's a nice photograph of it. Did you take this picture?
Yeah.
All right. How'd you get it up and over? Just lean over it?
Yeah, just leaned over.
Okay. So you can see the handle in the very center of it, and he would spin this thing round and around, and according to what he has written about, it would keep going. Did he say in his writings, John, what it did when it was in its perpetual motion state, spinning round and round?
I think he could do work with it. He's creating an orbit of energy, and he could send that energy out.
An orbit of energy, does that mean some kind of an energy bubble 360 degrees around the wheel, something like that?
Well, if you look at scroll up to the top of the page, you'll see a section that says Sacred Nest Egg. I have a picture of him using the wheel in there, and that'll help you.
Okay, Secret Nest Egg. Let me go down.
Let's count. Sacred Nest Egg.
Sacred. Okay, figure A, 1, 2, and 3. Which would it be numbered?
It's on a separate page called Sacred Nest Egg.
Right. Oh, there's a link at the top? I missed it.
Yeah, it's just the next
there it
page
is. Okay.
There's also something of great interest in there that I haven't yet.
Okay, right at the top page, John DePue's website, is a link. On the left is Home, and then Sacred Secrets, and then on the right, More Sacred Nest Eggs. And let's click on that and see what we come up with. Okay, there's a picture of Ed at the top standing, and then the third picture down is a photograph. I wonder who took that picture of Ed
turning
his wheel. Let's click on that. And okay, this is fascinating.
You know,
there he is. Pardon me?
Look at the setup he has there.
I'm looking.
That's something you take down every day. That's a permanent setup. The wheel itself, its core goes down into the ground with a drive shaft.
Oh, how far down?
I can't see below the coral rock, but it plugs right into the ground. And it's a crankshaft. And as the crankshaft turns, he's got an iron oil pan mounted in the wall. So as it turns, it goes in that little section of, the oil pan and then back out, in the section of oil pan and back out, which I think is part of the functioning of the wheel.
But there is some kind of a shaft that goes on into the ground further?
Yes.
And we don't know how deep that shaft goes.
No, but Coral Castle is only 6 feet above the water.
Okay. So it might go, who knows? Hold on, John. We have a pause here. We'll be right back with more in just a few minutes with John DePue. Okay, welcome back. Jeff Rentz with my guests. First guest tonight, John DePue. Now, go to John's website if you've just joined us. And at the top of it, you will see on the right-hand side, right at the very top, you'll see three links: Home, Sacred Secrets, and More Sacred Nest Eggs. If you click on that link, and we're going to go to that page. We've been on that page. And do join us if you just tuned in. The third picture shows Ed at work at his magnetic current generator. Now, this wheel, as John is describing to us, that he's turning, there's a hand crank there, has a shaft that goes down into the ground. The water table is only 6 feet beneath the ground level right there at that location. Do you think this shaft may go down into the water?
I feel like it would, but I don't have any evidence.
Okay, now there's some very heavy chains and some other things above this that I can see, and something that looks almost like a gauge or a clock dial, like a sundial almost. What are we looking at up there?
That's just, you're talking about above the wheel, that massive iron. He just compiled as much iron as he had into a bundle, I believe.
So it's just kind of junk iron all put together for a reason.
Yep. Right, he's pumping that energy into that iron. See, iron has the ability to hold magnetic energy and release it.
Ah.
Unlike a permanent magnet, which releases some, but it holds and absorbs more than it releases.
Okay, so he's cranking up the energy. He's building the energy.
Creating two currents. That's the key that everybody misses.
Okay, and one current is going into that collection of iron? Is that right? Where do the two currents go?
I believe he's creating an orbit of both currents, an equal balance, and that's what he's sending through the wire, and that's what science doesn't understand how to send through a wire.
Okay, he's sending it through a wire from that location, so he would, what, just lay a cable out somewhere, wherever he wanted it to pull the energy?
Well, if you look at the rest of the page, you'll see how his code unravels a grid pattern that when you take the code farther, all of a sudden, a grid pattern will emerge.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that in just a minute, but I'm just trying to do
I think ties into that.
Okay.
If you look at the coil on the side of the wheel with the iron bar centered over top of the coil, you see that?
Okay, which picture shall we be looking at for that?
Where he's turning the wheel.
Okay.
You see the iron bar that's on the side, it's centered right in the middle there?
Yeah, it's a thin bar, it's horizontal, it cuts across actually... it's not touching the wheel, but it's right next to the wheel.
Yeah, it's tied down on top of his customized coil that he designed.
I see. So that's a little a square coil of some kind, and there's an iron bar on top of that.
And you notice how it's centered in the middle. He says magnetic currents run in the center of the iron bar, not from end to end, like science thinks.
Oh.
Magnetic energy runs from the center out to its end. One side will be north and one side will be south.
Okay.
But now if you look at the coil, look at the center of the coil, you'll see a chain that runs out the center of the coil.
And goes right down off, just for our listeners, that's the chain you see going right down off the bottom of the picture, right in the center.
Right.
There's a little box there. Okay, all right.
That's where I think he's sending it out, but I'm not sure about that.
All right. Okay. Now the question is, he generates the energy at this location, magnetic energy. He goes to do work a couple hundred feet away. How does he access the energy from distance? What is your best guess?
I think it perpetually rotates by itself, sending out the streams of magnetic current through that center chain.
Okay, and that chain somehow, charged up the whole area that he was working in?
Science doesn't use north and south together. They think they cancel each other out.
Okay.
Canceling each other out equals zero. I think he's sending that zero in concentrated streams out. The energy on the northern hemisphere, there's north pole magnets coming down, south pole magnets going up. I'm just saying what he says.
Right. Okay, but I mean, what is your best guess?
He's catching what's coming down and catching what's going up and sending it out sideways.
Okay, sending it out sideways. So how does that enable him to move these huge stones, say, 150 feet away from this wheel? What's your guess?
Well, I think that's what gravity is that pressure between what's coming down and what's going up.
Okay,
if he merges the two and sends them out, he's basically sending a stream of gravity, in a sense. If gravity is an equal balance of both forces.
Okay, I gotcha. So he is, from that location, sending out this balanced field of gravity how does he aim it? Is what I'm trying to say.
Well, there's natural grid patterns that hold the planet together. I think he followed those grid patterns.
Ley lines, grid patterns.
Right, and that's what comes out in his code. That's what's so important about that part of it.
Okay, all right, very good. All right, let's back off that enlarged picture of Ed Leedskalman turning his magnetic generator. There are two pictures above that on the Nest Eggs page, which are very much worth our while. The center one we have seen before. I believe that is an image from, is it the Dendera image in Egypt? Forgotten the location.
I'm not sure the title of it, but it's definitely.
It shows two Egyptian men holding two devices, which quite clearly are connected to what appear to be some kind of heavy cabling. And those two devices have a symbol of a serpent on each one, and they do look as if they have three or four rings, concentric rings, as it were, coming off the lower side of the object that they're holding, which looks rather like the top of an enlarged Louisville Slugger baseball bat, if you will. And out the concentric rings appears to be depicted some kind of an energy surge or beam. So that's that has always been an absolutely fascinating picture. And it's real, and we've seen it before. Christopher Dunn and I have talked about that picture years and years ago when he discussed his work on the Great Pyramid of Giza. The top photograph says at work on it. And there's the very thin, 100 pounds, that's all they weighed, Ed Leedskalman, standing next to, well, looks like a piece of a tree with two branches on it, a Y, as it were, with a piece of metal or iron and two pieces at the top of it. What is it?
Well, to me, it looks a lot like what they're holding. If you look at the dirty hand marks on the tree itself, where you could see how he held that. There's one little knot at the bottom where you could tell he held that knot and he stuck his hand in that hole. It looked like he would hold it at the same angle.
I see. So it looks like the same kind of a device, basically, that is depicted
right.
in that ancient Egyptian drawing.
Exactly.
So he would hold, you can all see, we have a break here, just about, I would say, a foot and a half up from the bottom of that tree limb before it splits into the Y. You can see a little... what used to be a tree limb sticking out, a handle, as it were. And if he were to hold that in the same position as the drawings of the Egyptians were shown to be holding their devices, you get the idea, I think, of what John has brilliantly connected here. That may well be what it is. Okay, maybe those two bars of iron were able to pick up in a grid all of that energy he cranked up with his magnetic wheel. We'll find out more from John DePue in just a minute. We're back with John DePue, who just may have cracked one of the biggest mysteries of our times. Without any doubt, he is on to something, and we're following along with him, trying to stay with him. He's doing a very fine job of explaining this, and I want to again point out these three pictures on the Sacred Nest Eggs page. John is on a cell phone, by the way, tonight, so he is not as loud as we'd like him, but we can hear him just fine now. He's speaking up, and it's very important to understand the connection, and this is very smart, from the ancient Egyptian devices shown to what appears to be a very similar, although much more crude-looking device that Ed Leedskalman is seen standing next to in that picture. This is pretty amazing. All right, let's go back now, backspace a page to John's main homepage, Sacred Secrets. All right, John, that's we've got a real good setup for this. Let's kind of walk through what we have in terms of figure A and 1, 2, and 3 and so forth, and to just see what happens. Go ahead.
Okay, probably best to start at C.
You want to start at C?
Yeah, that's pretty much where it began with the two shapes.
Okay, that's a document called the Coral Castle Code. And John said it was unraveled from these two basic shapes of nature. I almost missed it, but he didn't. It is the base of all creation, and it's plus, zero, minus. Okay, now figure C, when we click on that, we'll look at a page. Coral Castle Code broken. And it says here, long ago, I noticed a basic pattern that Ed Leedskalman left behind on the cover of his booklet, Magnetic Current. At first, I thought it was just a little design the publishers added to the cover design itself, and you could see it as a red arrow there pointing to it. It is so subtle, it's easy to miss. After reading Ed's booklets over and over again and thinking about what Ed mentions about magnetic currents and how they run in a wire, and that science has been misled by incorrect instruction books, referring to the properties of electricity, he said, "They do not know what it is and how it runs in a wire." End quote. "This intrigued me," said John Depew, my guest, "to no end. I experimented through countless nights with failure and success. I was thinking to myself, if they run in a special way, why wouldn't Ed leave more of a clue? That's when these two curved lines on his book cover became a possible clue. At least it was one I hadn't checked out before. So I began laying out the two curved patterns on paper, imagining them as magnetic currents and trying to show myself how they might run." And he goes on there. Explain next.
"Well, I ran them out in straight lines, and nothing really stood out that noticeable. And I've been researching this stuff for a long time, like I said, so I've gone through all the ancient texts I could find and,
right,
you know, and everything. And then when I started running these lines the other way, into a vortex where the energy is supposed to run in the first place, all of a sudden it just opened up a huge door, and I realized that it's exactly the same thing that's hidden on all the old sculptures. And you know what a foo dog is, or a foo lion? They were at the Forbidden City Temple.
Yeah.
Well, if you look, those dogs, or lions, represent these two currents. Under the male foo dog, you'll see a ball with a flower pattern on it.
Okay.
That flower pattern is exactly magnetic current and how they run.
Oh, in other words, it's the vortex, which looks like a flower, but it's showing what...
When you take these patterns and run them out in a straight line, and then you run them in a vortex,
uh-huh,
or just running them in a vortex will still produce the same ancient knowledge. I mean, it's all over the place. And when you research as much as I have, and then you open up this code, it's just like, bam, you know?
So exactly. Simple, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is...
geometry is based on this. That's what it is. It's a representation of magnetic current.
Okay, so for all of you who are able to see this when we are heard, wherever you are, whenever you hear this, we are on John's page, and we're looking now at how he first ran the two-curve pattern out in a straight line. He just took those two lines and laid them end to end to end to end, flat.
Yeah.
And then after drawing them in this way, it didn't feel right. So John said, "I thought I'm going to lay these patterns out until I find something that makes sense. That's when it all came together, and I realized Ed Lead Skelman knew the secrets of what is known as sacred geometry. These two curved lines, Ed left, held his biggest secret, his Sweet 16, the magnetic currents of creation known to the ancients as the Flower of Life, among other titles." And the drawing of the vortex under that is, as I understand, is very simple, but it's universal.
Oh, it's beautiful. The patterns that come from these two lines...
Okay, talk a little louder, John. We got you, but keep it up.
Yeah, the patterns that I've gotten from these two lines, they're constantly... I mean, they're never the same, but they're all brilliant. They all make sense. So I ended up... I color-coded these two lines. Now, here they're just black.
Right.
So I decided to make them individual currents, so I color-coded one red and one blue.
Ah.
And that's why I could follow the energy... how it would be distributed in the structure. You understand?
I do.
On some of the future pictures you see on my site here, you'll see them color-coded.
Okay, so we're looking at figure D next. And figure D is a close-up of the two lines that Ed drew on the outside of his book.
Right.
Positive current, left line. Negative current, the right line. Two equal forces, two directions of force.
Right, and that's what science misses right there.
You're talking about upsetting physics as we know it.
I know, but I can't believe that they haven't seen it so far. I mean, I'm a very simple person.
Well, I wouldn't say that. You figured out something that few, if any, have ever even guessed at before.
Oh, thank you for listening. Really, I really appreciate that. Because you're the first one.
Well, I'm pleased to do it. Figure E is Ed's book, Magnetic Current. And is this? He didn't have the red on the
No, I did that cover. So people could understand what I'm talking about.
Got it. But he did have. Did he have a circle around magnetic current on the book?
No.
Okay.
No.
He just had magnetic current and then the two little lines.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Everything red is what I did.
I see. Well, it's that's. Well, it's brilliant, is what it is. What you've done here.
And what's brilliant is that he left. Such a small clue. I mean, how did he figure all that out in his brain? I mean, it is these shapes evolve into such brilliancy, and they're circuits. I mean, they're actually functional circuits. They're male and female connections. It blows me away.
Well, for all of those listening tonight and who will follow your work now very closely, I think that they'll be as impressed as I am already. Figure F shows. What's that, John?
It ties science and religion together.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Okay, now you've taken the two lines in figure F and you've color-coded them.
This is only one way that I've color-coded them. I've done it different ways where I've had like one end blue and one end red. And both ways turns out some pretty miraculous patterns.
Uh-huh.
But I like this one. This is the best.
Very, very handsome, very... very strong, very timeless kind of an image there. Okay.
You know, with this image you're looking at right now with the color code,
yeah.
If any of your listeners want to try it themselves, they can use that picture as a template.
Right.
Just white out the writing, you know, my name and all that stuff, and then take a magic wand and any kind of, like, Photoshop and separate the lines from the background. That separated, so you can just layer the lines on top of each other, and then you can develop your own patterns, and you'll see the brilliance of Ed.
Okay, now figure G, the next figure, is you've taken the lines and laid them again out in what appear to be just a, kind of a consecutive display, but exactly what are you doing here?
Basically, I'm just multiplying them, you know, and spreading them out.
Right.
And that's how I found the sacred geometry. And that's when, you know, if you look at the cover of the book, it's Magnetic Current. That's the book.
Right.
And what's on that, those two lines, and those two lines represent sacred geometry, so what does that tell you?
Well, it tells us Ed was tapped into the secrets of the universe.
Right. I mean, in a big way, bigger than anybody so far.
I think Tesla would have understood this easily.
Yeah, Tesla's wonderful.
And, in fact, maybe Tesla already knew about it. We don't know.
I think he did, because if you look at his designs and things he said, he talked about designing things according to nature, you know, and that's exactly what this is.
Now, I did a program, it's been probably a couple of years ago now, about ground energies and how people in the latter part of the 19th century were actually sticking rods into the ground and generating huge banks of lights and electrical devices. Probably something to do with this kind of a principle.
I would think so.
John Bedini, I don't know if you know who John is, has done a lot of work. In fact, I'm going to call John and ask him to take a very close look at your work. John is... brilliant in his own right, and he'll really understand this.
That's what I need right there.
All right, well, we'll get that done. Okay, we move forward to figure I. And that
or
H,
actually. Did you see H? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, H. Let's not go to I yet.
Now, you understand what, you know what an atom is, right? Of course you do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what holds an atom together. That's what this is. To give you an idea of what we're talking about.
Okay, that energy that holds that. Say that again?
This is the base form of energy. Nothing goes any farther down than this.
Okay, this form of energy holds...
Nano people should pay attention to this.
Holds an atom together? This could be zero-point energy?
Magnetic currents are the true atom builders, according to Ed.
Okay. All right. Okay, very good. Stand by. We have a little break here to do at the top. We'll come back and continue our conversation. This is the first, and we're very honored to have John with us tonight. and expose his work to as many people as we can and see where it goes from there. Back in just a few minutes. Okay, welcome back, and glad you're along. This is a particularly interesting program. I have covered with various guests over the years the mystery of the Coral Castle. Ah, yes, what happens when you live in Las Vegas for a couple of years. Okay, and Ed Leedskalnin's mystery may well have been, if not entirely solved, substantially solved, with the revelations that John DePew has somehow discerned from 15 years of study, when he finally looked at the cover of the book he had been reading for so long and saw two little squiggly lines on the front. This is an amazing story, and you can see it on John DePew's website. This is a first radio exclusive for you. We're going to do our best to connect John with others in the field of advanced science, open-minded science, and see if they can come up with things that may even further enhance John's work. Okay, John, this whole thing of the wheel, I think we all have the basic picture in mind now, at least a pretty good idea of it. And let me just back up a minute. We have the photograph of Ed spinning the wheel, as it were. He's got a vertical handle on it, the shaft, and he holds and he spins it round and around and around and around. Was this thing on bearings, could you tell? How crude was it?
It's pretty crude, but it's still efficient. You know, that's the way he did everything, it seems like. He kept it as simple as possible. You know?
So does the wheel still turn?
Yeah.
Something
I want to mention real quick while you bring that up?
Yeah.
I saw a recent picture of the wheel. I haven't been there in a while. And someone is tampering with it. They're chipping away the concrete trying to get inside the wheel. And that really bothers me a lot. Because once it's apart, you're never going to be able to put it back together in its integrity, you know. If anything, x-ray it. Don't take it apart. You know?
Are these tourists in there?
I think it's somebody that works there or something. But somebody that has a lot of time there, because it would take a lot of time to do what they're doing. But they're chipping away at the concrete, trying to take it apart, and there's just no way they're going to successfully take it apart without ruining it.
Have you made this observation known to the people who are custodians of this priceless
legacy?
There's
no reply.
Well, you must keep after them.
It's not easy.
Send me your email, and I'll send it to them.
Okay.
Maybe we can get some pressure put on them.
Yeah, I would like just x-ray it. They don't have to take it apart, you know.
Easy to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So, just for fun, let's go back, and we're standing next to Ed, and he's turning this wheel. How fast will he be turning it? Any guesses?
Well, I have one thing. He mentions that timing is crucial. That's all I can say on that.
Ah.
That is very important, the timing.
And I wonder how he could tell when the timing was right.
Well, there's a balance. It's something I've discovered on my wheel research. Okay, this is going to be hard to explain, but you know when you spin a bicycle wheel with spokes, you can see the two different directions of force in the spokes?
Yeah, that's fascinating. I always
that's real. That's both forces. You are seeing something real there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's not an optical illusion?
Exactly. Now, listen. It's hard to explain. Right? in a magnetic field, you can hold the spot that's exactly centered between those two opposite forces. And that's how my little bearing, the vortex gears, how they keep spinning with in tune with the wall current. Am I losing you?
No, no. I got the idea.
In a magnetic field, you can hold perpetual motion. Perpetual motion is the balancing point of those two directions.
You got to find the right spot.
Right. And it's, timing would fit with that.
Now I'm going to go back to this bicycle wheel. That's amazing. If you spin a bicycle wheel that has spokes on it, and you watch the spokes, it does appear that you can see things moving in two different directions.
It'll cascade up and then cascade back and cascade up and cascade back. And you can stop that cascading between the two directions in a magnetic field. I've already proven that.
That's amazing. I used to look at that as a kid and wonder what that was all. I thought it was just an optical trick, like, you know, on a hot day when you see mirages on asphalt and so forth.
So did I. I found it, you know, just by accident, by experimenting. I was trying to get my gears to stay in tune with the currents that were coming out of my wheel.
Uh-huh.
And what I use is an air compressor. I speed up my gears to be in tune with the wall currents. And I could see those little lines of force, exactly six of them, cascade one way and cascade the other. And finally I got to where it was stay right in the middle. It's such a fine little balancing spot. So once you get it there, it'll stay there for days. I had my gear spinning for days.
Oh,
this is being powered by the wall. And I'm running my currents right now. My wheel's not finished, so I'm
got it. Okay. All right. So let's assume he's turning that at 40 to 60 revolutions per minute, something like that?
I don't know.
We don't know. And once he got it going, it would continue on its own. That's what he's saying. Okay. So we're building up this energy field, as it were. I've asked this before, but let me ask it again. How does the energy from that location go to the point he needs it to be to do the work he was doing, raising and lifting these enormous pieces of rock?
Are you ready? What I believe, this is not, I don't have it substantiated or anything.
Okay, he didn't drag a cable with him.
It's down to figure M.
It's what?
Figure M.
Figure M.
Okay. Once I complete a full, what you would say would be like a complete structure of these two currents, you know, where it looks almost like a little living cell or whatever.
Okay.
I merge it with duplicates of the same thing, and all of a sudden a grid appears in the pattern. So he built this. God, he's so brilliant, I can't even talk about it. He built this clue to show whoever takes it farther, there's more in.
No, I got it. He's showing us only a glimpse of the potential.
What I'm saying is this clue leads into more clues.
I got it.
I take that so far, but this grid is how I think the energy flows. Very difficult for me to talk.
It's a three-dimensional grid.
Look at that picture, and then Joe.
Which picture?
Figure M.
All right, let's get to M. P, M, Q.
You see a grid forming in the, when you merge.
Okay.
You merge the structure.
Figure.
Together.
All right, go to Figure M on John DePue's page, and click on that image, and it will nicely enlarge. And there is a grid right smack in the middle of it.
That's built into the code. Is that brilliant or what?
Oh, that's astonishing.
I know, and they're all feeding the centers. And that's how I think the neutral zero energy travels.
There is Ed Lead Scanlon's two little simple little curvy lines all worked together in, well, sacred geometry. But beyond that, it's... Do you look at crop circle formations?
That's exactly. I've noticed those too. They're right on the money. Now, do you understand how I put how the grid formed? If you look above that figure L, if you take four of those and put them together, you'll get that grid. But now, you have to line it up so perfect. There's little markers in the structure itself. It's exactly like a little jigsaw puzzle, like a key. If you don't line it up right, you won't see it.
You know who else knew about this?
Knights of Templar, a lot of people.
The Mayan culture had it?
Yeah. I traced it back to King Solomon. I can't get much farther past that.
Okay, so you take four from figure L and carefully combine them, and you'll see at figure M what you have.
And then I took that even farther, and you'll start seeing...
Okay, let's go to the next one. Let's go to N. Figure N as in Norman. All right, figure N.
Now, all these grid lines are built into the code itself. I didn't put them in there. Now, you tell me what kind of genius you have to be to know that and to leave that two little line clue that builds into it.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know.
That's just amazing. Look at that grid.
Now, that grid is exactly how our planet's held together. So those lines are how he sent out his neutral energy, I believe. That's also what relativity is.
Okay, so those lines were the power, as it were, transmission lines or pathways.
That's what I believe.
He could send... Now, that would be a three-dimensional grid, though. We're looking at it, obviously, in one dimension
right there.
So the planet is held together with an energy grid of...
But not just the planet, everything.
Everything.
The universe.
That's the...
Your skin. Look at your skin.
That may be the essence of it all.
Exactly.
So we are, as I said...
Atom builders.
We are electromagnetic first.
Yep.
And chemical second.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Back in just a minute. Okay, and the amazing figure M and the even more amazing figure N right there at John DePue's website for you to look at. Ed Scalman, says John, had a complete ley line understanding. It goes way beyond our modern understanding. Magnetic currents work the same way at all levels, from the tiniest particle as well as the largest mass in space, including the universe as a whole system. It is the fabric that molds everything into shapes and form. Our brain's thinking operates on the same system. So that would indicate that this is the life force that gives us our experience of being alive. It seems to be that we are all connected in an infinite network of energy. And there's that oneness again. Always come back to that. Too bad we ever lost it in the first place. It appears that the core or the center, the next figure, figure 01, of each structure is neutral energy that runs in squared triangle ley line grid patterns that connect all centers. I believe this is where the gravity effects are hidden. I believe that it is how, that this is how, it's equal balanced neutral energy runs differently in a wire than we use the separated parts of this energy form today. This is why ley lines would be relevant to tapping into the natural zero points. They are the real cosmic force as a whole form. Okay. That's just amazing. Next, the next image we're to look at would be... Figure P?
Did you look at figure O? With the capital overlay? Figure O, picture 2?
Okay, O 2. Hold on, let's find it here. There's O 1 and O 2. Yeah, okay. All right, figure O 2 is the second one right there. And if you look down at it, he has... Oh, I got it. Oh, and it fits to scale perfectly, doesn't it?
Yeah, but see, when I put it together like four different ways, and they all have things that really look promising. So I just put this one up to show the basic premise, you know, the basic idea of the whole thing. But I'm not satisfied with the ones I've done so far. But I know it's in there, so I'm not sure if this is accurate or just close to being accurate.
I got it, but you're clearly on to something.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. So the actual ley lines, the grid lines, would have intersected the Coral Castle grounds, and he could have theoretically tapped into those energy points anywhere along those lines, right?
And his revolving door was opening and closing a circuit.
When he moved the Coral Castle to the new location...
And he moved part of it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I wonder how he went out scouting to find the best location.
I think he knew how to observe nature and see what he needed.
Probably just look at it and see harmony and see energy and see
the way nature's, you know, growing or whatever. He was all about nature.
Right. This may sound a little, for those of you trying to follow and not following, this may sound a little out there, but it really isn't all that. It's astonishingly simple.
Yeah,
really.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. His whole point was that science has made this huge mess with all these different things, but nature only needs three things to do all of it.
And those three things are?
North and south magnets and the neutral center, the neutral particles of sunlight, starlight.
Magnetic mattress pads. I've been using those for years. Magnetic fields for health. Magnets for healing. Magnetic fields can somehow organize chaos back into logic in an electrical, a bioelectric entity. They can do some amazing things. Magnetic fields. Explain, if you would, your view of gravity and magnetic fields, or magnetism. Is there a difference? Are they the same basic thing?
I think they're all part of the same whole, but I think different... When you break it up, it has different attributes.
Uh-huh.
So I think science has just missed the way the whole form runs. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Well, science, as you said, has gotten... It's as if they're so myopic. They're looking at this little problem in front of them, and if they were just to raise their head, they would see this amazing truth all around them. Very simple.
Oh, yeah, right. They don't even want to look. You know, I've tried to tell so many people this. They don't even give it a second. You know, that says everything.
Well, they're steeped in their grants. They're steeped in their training. They're steeped in their egos, and they don't want to upset anything. They don't have room for anything new, really, most of
them. They shouldn't be doing that work, then.
Well... There's money in it, and they have mortgages and all the rest of it, and they have tenure, and you know the game.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, who are some of the people you've tried to contact with all of this, John?
Pretty much everybody. I mean, anybody I could think of.
And will anyone actually sit down and read through it with you, or read through
it? You're the only one that's given it this much time.
Wow.
I really appreciate that.
Well, we're going to do things with this. You'll see. You deserve more credit than I can. No. I'm just a conduit. Okay, here's a break coming up, John. Stand by if you will. We'll come back and take a look at some more of these remarkably brilliant illustrations, which make this super genius, as John DePue calls Ed Leeds-Galman. Make his work more simple to understand. And I do hope some of you folks out there who are involved in physics and so forth will take the time to look at this and contact John and at least acknowledge his dedication. I think you as scientists can understand what he is doing here and trying to do, and maybe you'll have some insights that'll help push this back even further. Okay, be back in just a minute. We'll be right back. Okay, right back with you. And go to Ancient Knowledge Revealed. If you haven't been there yet, that's John Pugh's website. This is not only a breakthrough in terms of understanding, apparently, how Ed Leeds Scalman did what he did, vis-a-vis moving these enormous pieces of rock and so forth. But it apparently opens the door to the door Ed opened, and that door allowed Ed to look into literally the heart and soul, the fabric, the structure, the essence of the universe, and how it is basically put together. And it's not very complicated. Your mind, John, must have taken this realization and gone in a thousand different directions with it, the potential of it. Are we as a species mature enough to have and share and use this kind of knowledge? I have severe and grave doubts about that.
Yeah, I have to agree now. Now especially, I really agree. After trying to show people and they still don't even come close to even wanting to see it.
And those, speak a little louder if you can, and those who would want to see it and would understand it probably aren't the ones we want that knowledge in the hands of.
That's true. And that's one regret I'll have if it turns out that way. But my hopes are that the noble and good side will take it and run with it.
Well,
I think it's
okay.
The only chance to, if there is an evil side that probably already knows this stuff, I really think they
yeah.
do. So
I wouldn't be
what
surprised.
Better way to combat it than to understand it yourself also?
Right. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, let's just for fun play around with this for a minute. We've got this 360-degree, three-dimensional, maybe 10 dimensions, who knows, grid of, you could call it, it's not cubes, it's a grid. And it's you might look at it as a three-dimensional cube in a way with... the lines going around each square in that enormous mass of grid. But that would enable, would it not, things like crafts from other planets, other solar systems, other galaxies to travel at zero point speeds very quickly from place to place by just hopping on these grids and going.
Right, that's what I agree with that. And that's just one angle. Endless. It is mind-boggling when you think about the potential of the knowledge here.
So they just jump on the universal grid of zero-point energy and go.
You're tapping into something that's so powerful that it can separate space. I mean, that force is what separates the north and the south magnet. It's right in the middle.
Uh-huh.
It's powerful enough to hold back the universe, basically.
Powerful enough to hold back the universe.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Thank you.
I do. I don't know. Okay, let's look at a few more pictures here with John now and scroll down his homepage. This may answer countless questions with just a little bit of basic knowledge here that John has discovered, rediscovered, interpreted, however you want to phrase it, from the work of Ed Leeds Scalman.
Something I noticed was if you put a black background on these patterns, you'll see a whole different side also. You'll see parts of it that you didn't notice before that seem pretty relevant, you know, pretty important. For example, if you look at one of the grid patterns, black background or the white background, you'll see the flower centers, okay? Well, look at the centers between the four sets of flower centers.
Okay.
See that?
Okay, we'll go to... Which figures will we be looking at here?
Oh, you can go to 01.
Okay. 01, all right.
Yeah.
Let's look at 01, figure 01. All right, that's the top one. We'll click on that and pull that up. True structure of energy in our universe. Okay, now explain what you were just telling us again.
Right. Look at the flower centers with those bundles of energy.
Yep.
Okay, now look at a set of four of them and then look in the center of that set.
Okay.
That it's like an opposite of a flower. It's like a negative version of what you're seeing.
Got it. Yeah.
Just
reminds
like
me of
a bunch of empty space, or
yeah,
probably a larger collection of neutral energy than the other spot.
Well, it's almost a mirror opposite of what the flowers are.
Right. Now that's built into the code too. I mean, It's just mind-boggling.
And when you think about it, just travel along that. I mean, just the potentials
are... It connects everything.
Yeah.
Like, if you pinch yourself on your toe and you can feel it all the way through your body, that message, I think, is sent through this kind of a network.
Or if a relative or a friend suffers a pain and you feel the pain, even though you're thousands of miles away at the same instant, the same moment, the same place in your body,
yeah.
That's the connection.
Yes, yeah, relativity.
All one. And yet we go through life so close-minded and childish about, how everything is compartmentalized. And
waste all our energy. We could really be doing wonderful things.
We waste all our energy trying to define and redefine reality in terms of our own individual and collective egos.
And what someone else has taught us to believe.
And belief systems.
Yeah.
Which all obfuscate this simple truth, that we are all connected. Coral Castle. Little Ed Lead Skeleton.
I know. He's a genius.
Okay, that's quite an image. Let's look at a couple more here. Then we have another break coming up. We've looked at the one, figure 02, where approximately the actual coral castle is overlaid. It's just a square. It's a cube.
Yeah, that's just the way I laid it in there. I mean, you can lay it in different ways.
Got it.
My battery's going to cut you off.
Well, you tell your cell phone to hold on. Do you have another battery?
Yeah, I have it ready, so when you go on break, I can switch it and call me back after that.
Okay, well, we'll go to a break right now.
Okay, I'll switch phones and you can call me right back.
All right, we'll do it. Okay, right, hold on, and we'll take our break now. I'm right back with our final segment with John Depew. This is potentially the most extraordinary program of its kind that you may ever hear, that I have ever done. Potentially. We need to study this. John is clearly a man of great intuition and brilliance, and maybe he tapped into the oneness to help him understand this. Be right back. Okay, John, we have one segment left here to kind of tie this up. What other images would you like to look at and focus upon here in our remaining minutes? We've got figure S down there, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, you can figure S will go through real fast, and let's go back up to the top.
Okay, shall we go to the top first?
No, just stick with S.
Okay,
there.
Figure S is in Sam. Yeah, go ahead and click that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the sun dial of Ed's, which he was screaming with science about also, that our planet, the way it moves around the sun is a lot different than science believes.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's part of the whole thing. And look at the lines on the sun dial, and what do you see? Magnetic current.
Oh, and these are orbits.
Yeah, now if you took that design and went all the way around, like you can see it wants to go around all the way.
Uh-huh.
by the way it's moving on this one part that he designed. If you take it all the way into a 360, you'll see the flower of life.
Again.
Yeah.
So he's saying the orbits of the planets, their orbits are actually...
in these patterns.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And all because he was stood up by a 16-year-old teenager.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, go up to the top of the page, and you'll see I took another whole structure. So you can create, you start out with the two lines, build a structure.
Uh-huh.
And every time I've done that, there's been something in it that is the code part of the structure.
Okay.
So go up to figure A.
Got it.
And look at the top one there. Magnetic currents, the true atom builders.
Okay.
Take a good look at it.
Yeah.
That structure has a north and south pole.
Yeah.
You see those gaps in that section?
Right at 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Those gaps. They almost look like a mistake in the pattern.
Yep.
So if you take those gaps and say duplicate the whole thing, take those gaps and line them up with each other, have the same thing all over again, but a whole different structure pattern. He did this all in his head. I mean, I've never seen anything like it on this planet. And I've searched every little nook and cranny I could find, and there's no scientist that even came close to this.
Was Ed from this planet, or was he gifted with some kind of knowledge or brilliance?
I'm really starting to wonder.
And his clue was right on the front of his old book all these years.
Yeah.
Just for those of you listening, forget about coincidence. There is no coincidence in any of this. It's absolutely a lock.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Now look at that one single pattern. Now look at the multiple patterns below it, in black background and a white background, and you'll see the brilliance in Ed Lissy's comment.
Okay, let's see. All right, the next one is... same image, but a mosaic of it. Well, repeated.
Now, they won't... I see that little three-petal flower? That's in tons of ancient scriptures.
Huh.
That does not happen unless you line up those little neutral holes there.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at the black background.
So they're all communicating with their centers on there also.
You can see the centers easier. See those little gaps?
Mm-hmm. You have to line those up just like a key. This is the Da Vinci Code. All of those codes are basically based on this.
Hmm.
The Bible Code, the Da Vinci Code. This is what it's about.
I have reservations about some of those, but...
I'm just saying they were trying to...
tap into the same...
magnetic currents is what they represent.
Okay, remarkable. Let's go all the way back down to the bottom and take a look at John DePue's wheel. How many wheels have you built, John?
Just one. I've had a lot of little experiments, but this is my best one. This is the one that... and this is basically, made from junk parts.
This is my wheel, it says here. For those of you not online, I discovered Ed's code before I finished building it, which turns out to be a great turn of events. It has helped me understand more of what is needed. So your wheel is I don't want to call them spikes, but the
they're U-shaped iron. Basically what they really are, what they're made from are just simple curtain hangers, like metal iron curtain hangers.
Oh yeah.
I bought a ton of them and rebent them and made U's, because I couldn't find any U's anywhere. I didn't want to use magnets. I wanted to use iron, because iron can hold the magnets and release them.
Now, your wheels don't go into the ground.
My wheel's not mounted in the ground yet. I have to build a core and try to set it up the same way as Ed, but I haven't gotten that far. But it is producing magnetic current.
Just by itself?
No, not by itself, by plugging it in. I have it hooked up to my power.
So you charge it up with what, 110?
Well, yeah, I'm just doing that, so I wanted to work out the flow, the magnetic flow.
Okay.
But see, the way I have it wired, it doesn't get hot. Basically, you're creating an orbit of energy that has very little resistance. Heat is just a product of friction. You don't have to have heat to have energy.
Okay.
Heat is a waste of energy.
Hmm.
I mean, when you see a hurricane, you know, it's not hot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of power there, a lot of force there.
Okay, now the figure Z, the last image.
That's what I was talking about before, with that balancing point in between the two motions. Use the wheel, the bicycle wheel analogy.
So what is that we're looking at?
That's basically a bearing. Uh-huh. You take out of any of, you know, you can get them anywhere. And I mounted magnets on it. I gave it a, you know, north and south pole.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a little planet, basically.
Like a little planet.
Yeah.
Boy, you must, after doing all this work, really have great concerns about what we've done and are doing to this planet. How much...
Oh, yeah, I do, actually.
Can you see, John, a limit to the amount of abuse a portion of the universal grid representing this planet can take before it somehow there's a rupture or a fracture and things... Things
right.
Disassemble and then are reassembled in a different way?
Right, ripple.
So we could blow it. We could. Okay. I wonder if his phone... We'll try and get him right back there. But take a look at that last image. Image Z. And he says, here is one of my many polarized bearings. I call them vortex gears. These gears can be extended outward, upward, and downward, branching out from each other. Each gear produces its own rotating magnetic field, which is able to be to continue the chain of rotation on to other bodies. So there's figure Z. Now, John, I was just asking, can we blow it here on the planet with the wrong kind of physics that we don't really understand too well, like HARP? We're pumping up enormous amounts of electromagnetic energy. We're charging up the ionosphere. We're, some would say, charging up the lower atmosphere with these aluminum barium chemtrails spraying operations. We're turning that into a static plasma, which can be accessed and used by HARP and HARP-like projects. Are we on the doorstep of really perhaps blowing the whole thing?
I think so. I think that they don't have a right to do that. Shouldn't allow that to happen.
And yet,
Nobody has the right to play games with that.
Well, nobody has the right to play games with God, in a way.
Right. Well, that's what it is. I have a lot of reservations, but I don't think anybody has the right to do that. They should focus more on natural means of producing energy.
Of course. Of which you are clearly convinced there is... beyond an infinite supply right here at our fingertips.
Uh-huh. And it's the way it's designed to be distributed, you know, it's naturally distributed.
Now, back to that resonant energy, that electromagnetic energy that holds atoms together,
uh-huh.
that is the realm of, that is the zero point.
That's what I believe, yeah.
Okay.
I believe that is the base structure of energy mm-hmm. as a whole mm-hmm. form.
Hmm.
Nothing below that. So, like, all nano researchers should really focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
These are the true atom builders. I mean, something holds an atom in its structure, and you have to ask yourself what that is. And Ed screamed the world that magnetic currents were that.
The amazing Ed Leedskalman, who left behind the keys to the kingdom, as it were, in two little lines.
Yeah.
The John DePew. After 15 years, figured it out. Did the moment come on quickly, or was it a process that took days or weeks? How quickly did it strike you?
Well, it's been a gradual process, but when I found it, it was exactly like that. It was a moment. It was just like, wow. You see how much trouble I have talking.
Yeah.
Because I'm so full of all these years and finally finding it that I can't even talk about it after I find it. You know, it's so frustrating.
No, you've done a fine job. Don't even.
Well, you helped me a lot.
No. Don't even think about it. So what's next for John DePew? What are we pushing at now?
I'm just skimming the surface here. I mean, I just found this last month, really. This last month. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it out as fast as I thought. I haven't even finished building my wheels, so I have a lot of work to do.
Okay. John, I want you to keep me posted, and I would like very much to help you in any way I can with this, and I will refer this to a number of people I know. So, in the meantime, beware of sharks. Keep the good work to yourself when it's potentially dangerous to the planet, because you know how that goes, as much as you can anyway.
Okay, I really appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, John DePue, a genius, a man who has put together maybe the biggest puzzle of them all. Okay, we will be back.